coming up next on Your World.
Help us to see the control that you've been under.
I mean, it's difficult to talk about it because I'm still trying to protect my children, but I know that I can't protect them if I don't talk about it. As good of a husband as he has been, he's also been keeping me from them. There's like months at a time where I don't see my children. His family's cut me off. You know, he told me that he could replace me any day and that I wasn't worthy. And
I don't want you as a woman to have the tendency to try to make an excuse for his bad behavior that comes as a result of his wrong believing. It's fear-based. I'm afraid this is going to happen, so I've got to see if I can control you to get you to do what I want. It's self-centeredness. So while I appreciate a sense of loyalty, that's a bunch of crock. Thank you. Welcome to a very exciting show. Now, have you ever felt stuck in a bad situation? Maybe you found yourself in an unhealthy relationship, behind on car payments, or you're in a job that doesn't match the dreams you've always had. Now, perhaps these words and this tough stuff in life is speaking directly to you. So how do you get through the tough stuff and get unstuck? It can seem like no matter what you do or how you try to escape, you keep being pulled back to struggle, to worry, to doubt, to shame, to addictive behaviors, to bad relationships, and as a result, cheated out of the best things in life. What is the answer? Today, you're going to meet a woman who did escape. She even found success after suffering through a relationship with a controlling and cheating husband. But now, that success has come at a cost. She is legally barred from seeing her two sons. You won't want to miss this heartbreaking story. You're going to find out what it takes to get out of a bad situation and what you can do to get unstuck. I'm Creflo Dollar, and welcome to Your World.
Changing one life, time after time.
Welcome to Your World, and the reason why we call it that is because you're going to have the opportunity to take us into your world.
Okay.
And today I'm so excited about your world because I believe we can speak to it. Mm-hmm. We have members in our audience who can relate with you. So we're just going to come together like a village today. We're going to figure this thing out. Okay. So let's do just that. Take us into your world. Now you begin your relationship. You meet this man and you end up marrying him?
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And out of that marriage, you had two sons of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden things started changing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. And in this, help us to see the control that you've been under. Let's go kill some demons. Mm-hmm. You know?
It took a lot for me to get here today. I mean, it's difficult to talk about it because I'm still trying to protect my children. But I know that I can't protect them if I don't talk about it. And, I mean, as, you know, as good of a husband as he has been, he's also been keeping me from them. And
keeping you from your
from my
boys.
Children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't answer the phone. He moved. There's been police reports. There's been it's been months since I spoke to them. I haven't seen them since November. And before that, I didn't see them since February of last year. So there's like months at a time where I don't see my children.
And he's doing this in an attempt to do what?
He wants to control me. Like, I've been with him since I was 15. I don't want to say it's his religion, because a lot of America is, I feel like we don't understand other people's culture and accept it, because our culture is different, very different, because of where we come from. But I understand that he's African, he's Nigerian. I understand his culture. He has 67 aunties and uncles. So his lifestyle is different, and the way he sees women is different. And because I was younger, I didn't see that. And the control that he had, because he had money and his family was a very prominent family, I didn't see that. Now I see that it's control, and he just wants to control me. His family's cut me off.
And see, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is, regardless of the culture and regardless of the religion, wrong belief will equal wrong living. Mm-hmm. And wrong belief and believing wrong will be responsible for the results in a person's life and how they care of themselves and what they do. Let me give you an example. When I was in India, I saw hunger. But at the same time, I saw a cow in the front yard. Mm-hmm. Their belief about that cow versus them suffering hunger. Okay, so they're not hungry because there's not food there. Mm-hmm. They're hungry because they're believing wrong. Mm-hmm. And when you believe wrong, you live wrong. When you believe right, you live right. And everybody's issue in life is an issue of right believing or wrong believing. Now, that can be your religion, but boy, if it's wrong believing, it's going to produce wrong living. Mm-hmm. But boy, when it's right and it's lining up with the true and living God and you believe right, you're going to live right. And so when it comes to relationships and getting a relationship with people, you need to make sure you're hooking up with somebody that believes right. Because if they believe wrong, they're going to live wrong, and it's going to impact the way you live. Mm. Some cultures are not believing right. That's what my whole mission in life is to go to different cultures and say, let's look at how you've been believing, and let's look at what this word has to say. And if you'll believe the way this word says versus your traditional belief, we can probably see you set free from a whole lot of things that you're suffering in your life. Mm. And sometimes I don't want you as a woman to have the tendency to try to make an excuse for his bad behavior that comes as a result of his wrong believing. His wrong believing is a result of him being controlling, and that controlling spirit is now separating you from their kids, and that's a consequence for those decisions. Mm-hmm. You may not see it right now, but that's a consequence for it's fear-based. I'm afraid this is going to happen, so I've got to see if I can control you to get you to do what I want. It's self-centeredness. Self-centeredness is the key to bitterness in every arena. It's a key to bitterness. It's fear-based. See, because when you're self-centered, you're not thinking about anybody else. And if you're only thinking about yourself, then you don't think about the people that are being impacted and hurt as a result of you being in the center. Mm-hmm. So while I appreciate a sense of loyalty to say, well, you know, his culture and where he comes from, that's a bunch of crock. Because if you believe right, you're going to live right. If you believe wrong, you're going to do wrong. And when it's wrong, it's going to be wrong for everybody that's involved in you. Mm-hmm. It's not anything that you have done. It's not anything you have done that caused this situation. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you saying what you're saying, but I mean, what good is it going to be to control you to such a point where you keep your kids away from their mother? And we're saying we have a God and we have religion. Where's love? Right. There's no love in that. And so that's wrong believing, which is producing wrong living. But right believing produces right living. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, go ahead.
He know he's wrong and he knows what he's doing, because anytime the conversations become about me and him, he'll have length conversation, weeks conversations about it, text conversations, phone conversations. And as soon as it comes to me and seeing the kids and talking to the kids, he doesn't even answer. It'll be a blank response, like no answer for a month, 2 months, just because I mentioned me having a conversation or even being with the kids. And so I know he's wrong about that.
What's the objective? What is he trying to achieve by keeping the kids away from you?
I don't know.
Have you asked him?
He told me that he wanted to take everything away from me so that I can come back to him with nothing and see that it was about him.
Okay, so now I see. Hurt people want to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere down the line, you hurt him or he felt like you hurt him. Do you have any idea what that was?
When you're exposed to something and you see it and you accept it, even though you may know it's wrong, I seen how his family was and how his brothers treated the wives. I seen how unloyal they were and how much infidelity and just adultery there was in the family. And I just thought that because they were all not black, that it wasn't going to happen to me, or, you know, it's like, oh, they're stupid or whatever. Whatever my mindset was at the time was like, it couldn't happen to me. And it's like now knowing that it was happening to me the whole time, it's just more like I accepted it for so long. So it's like I'm wrong, too, because I should have been stronger long time ago.
Was there infidelity in your marriage?
It was an intuition that I knew about it. And because I had no physical proof, that I couldn't prove it, and then I become crazy because I'm thinking things and I can't prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like when I have tangible proof that you are actually cheating on me, it's just like, yeah.
So what you do know is that he's controlling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you've been devalued?
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, when anybody feels like they're devalued, there's just weird things that come out of you when you feel like you're not valued.
Right.
What were some of the things that you did because you felt devalued?
I just accepted the behaviors that he did. Like, you know, he told me that he could replace me any day and that I wasn't worthy. And, you know, it was just verbal abuse. It's just like accepting it. And it becomes a part of your confidence and your esteem.
When people hear verbal abuse, they figure, oh, well, that's not a big deal. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that verbal abuse produces feelings of being devalued, feelings of insignificance.
Mm-hmm.
Your self-worth is no good. And eventually, the enemy wants to bring you to this place of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a feeling of this painful feeling of being disconnected, not loved, not valued. And you can become a little paranoid because you're thinking, well, maybe I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue with a person who feels devalued is when you feel like you are exactly what they say.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like you're no good.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're sitting up there being abused verbally. It's like, you tell me I'm nothing, maybe I'm nothing. And that's painful to know that a human being feels like they have to stay and take that. Why did you feel like you had to stay and take that before you made your decision?
My children.
Okay. And most of the time, it's when you have children involved. Do you think if you didn't have children involved, you wouldn't have stayed there long to take that?
I mean, I just, every day was like, how am I going to get through the lifetime with this man after I married him? Like, it was never... I wanted to leave every day.
So you loved him when you first got married, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you realized that you were not that important to be valued, you stayed.
I mean, honestly, when we got married, I didn't even love him. I was marrying him because of my kids.
So you know my next question. I mean, you know, besides the kids, you married him. So did y'all have kids before you got married?
Two
kids before you got married. And so, I mean, you're marrying somebody you don't love.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew you didn't love him in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why would you marry somebody that you don't love?
I had children with him. I felt like as a woman, I chose to lay with this person and have children with him. And I have these lives that I have produced. And I don't want them to... not have their father around because I don't like them or I don't like him. Or, you know, it was more about really sacrificing as a woman for my children. And I know what it's like to not have my father.
Mm-hmm. And that's honorable. What mm-hmm. what you did was honorable,
mm-hmm.
but with consequences.
With a lot of consequences. Every day was a consequence.
Yeah. How long have you guys been apart?
It's going on 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And you've also been apart from your boys, right? Mm-hmm. Going on the same time, 3 years. Wow. When the Bible talks about the husband should be the head of the wife, it really means the husband should be the nourisher. Mm-hmm. Nourish her with love. Mm-hmm. And guys don't understand that. It's can I accept the responsibility as a man to nourish my wife with love? That's what that means. It doesn't mean head as in dominate or control or devaluing, but nourishing with love, even as Christ nourished the church with love. That's the comparison. That's what Christ did. He nourished us with love. I want to get our audience involved in just a moment, but what are the plans to try to resolve the issue with your kids so that you'll have some time and be involved in their lives? You have a lawyer. What are you doing?
I do have a lawyer because I'm fighting someone who is very educated. He has the law in like his hands, so he's a lawyer. So it's like I need to come prepared, and I'm preparing myself. May I'll be able to officially, you know, not be in any trouble talking to them. So I can actually go back to California and start the process, like a real process where there's no anger. Like I'm very transparent. I've done things out of emotion and anger where I look back at it and I'm like, that was a Madea moment. Like I was definitely crazy there. It was crazy.
A Madea moment.
It was. And I'm like, okay, that, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And I see now, like, I can't act like that. Like he has so many things that can really replace emotions and what we feel like we have to do to compensate for what, where our faith is lacking. So I'm just recovering.
Yeah.
I'm there. There.
You put Madea back where she need to be, right?
Just in the pocket. Yeah. She's still there, though. Like,
you know. Mm-hmm. And I you know, I like to tell people that when you allow your emotions to control you versus you controlling your emotions, when your emotions control you, you're the weakest person on the planet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're hurt, but the last thing you want to do is let those emotions take the lead. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know those Madea moments. Mm-hmm. I will crash my car into your house. You know, it's complicated, but you trust in God. Mm-hmm. And there is a grace of God that's available. And since God has already forgiven you 2,000 years ago, it's okay for you to go ahead and forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay? Can anybody relate with this story today? I want to get our audience involved in this.
I have experienced the same thing. I was married to a man in Major League Baseball who it was about domination and control. It was about, this is my puppet, talk, smile, good, that's it.
Wow.
With my ex-husband, it was, I just want you to be pretty and I want you to talk when I want you to. You belong to me. You are my possession. You see, when I married you, I acquired you. So therefore, you do as I say. And yes, I'll provide a home for you. Yes, I'll provide transportation. Yes, I'll make sure that there are groceries. But in there, I don't want you to have your own job, not because I as a man am to be the care provider for our home, but because I don't want you with your own money. I don't want you to be able to think. I don't want you doing anything on your own. Because
I feel like I'm having a Madea moment right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because if I don't dominate and control you, then somehow I am lesser of a man.
Taffy's teaching is so important. Even the old religious teaching about it is wrong. Right. I mean, God created man and woman to be equal before the fall. And, you know, you need Jesus. A woman doesn't need a man. Mm-hmm. And a man don't need a woman. They both need God. Amen. And they have equal access to God. And you know, that's why we call it a radical revolution, because many ministers don't know that. Many preachers don't know that. Somebody else. That was awesome. Somebody else. Where's the mic? Yeah.
Hi. I just wanted to commend you just because my parents went through the thing and I'm the child of what you're going through. It was really hard. Mm-hmm. We don't have a voice because you guys are the adults, but we feel everything. Mm-hmm. Even when you guys aren't speaking, the energies, everything is transparent. I want to commend you for opening up and sharing that. I want to encourage you to be open to healing with your kids.
Yeah.
Everything that's happening right now, if my, be honest, don't cut corners with your kids,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be able to feel what is real, regardless of what was told to them by either or parent, you know, and everything will work out for you. I really believe that. I send my love and prayers to you, and I wish this on no one, but being a kid experiencing that with my parents, it was a lot, but I'm glad that we were fought for by both of them. I still, regardless of who was in the wrong or not, everyone thinks they're right, regardless of on the outside. People feel their feelings are valid and what they believe. And he may really believe what he's doing, even if he can acknowledge that it's wrong, that it could be justified.
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity to get everything back to where you want it. Okay?
That's so encouraging. Thank you so much. We have time for one more. Let's get one more quick one. That was so encouraging.
I can so relate to your story because yours is similar to mine. I was young in that same process of meeting a guy older, marrying because I had a child, and not loving the person as well, but made a sacrifice because I wanted to be married. I never wanted to, you know, have a child out of wedlock, staying in the relationship, having another child, still not happy. He was a controlled non-believer. I was verbally abused. I didn't know who I was. You know, I didn't know who I could be until I came into the ministry of Pastor Dollar. Pastor Dollar is a therapist. He's a prophet. He is a man of God. If there's any way possible, stay connected to Pastor Dollar. You know, I have become the person that God intended for me to be. And I'm free, you know, in every way. So that's how you get your freedom.
Man. Woo! Wow. This is bigger and deeper than what I expected. I knew it was a big, big thing. But my heart really goes out when you hear your story being told back to you by people who can really, really relate with you. And it's going to really impact my men's teaching this weekend. Listen, inside you is the power to overcome any situation, to get unstuck and to move forward victoriously in this life. Don't let struggle and doubt and tough stuff rob you from the promises found in your future. I've put together some very specific resources to help you as you overcome your own situation. Watch this, and I'll be right back.